In times like this, when the whole world is reeling in recession, you know, and things may not look favorable, that's outwardly, we have to bring to remembrance certain things we have heard. We have to bring to remembrance the gift of God, so that we are not swept away by the events that we behold with our natural faculties. If we quickly go to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 5. You see, our work as Christians, as those called to inherit glory in God's kingdom, is to keep ourselves in the word of truth. Because circumstances without, circumstances in this world, seek to snatch that gift away from us. It seeks to swallow it up, so that, you know, you lose every trace of that gift that God has given to us. But we're going to read now in this letter to Timothy how that the Lord is admonishing us to put in remembrance always these things that we have heard, and to stir up ourselves in these things that we have heard. Please turn to 2 Timothy if you're not there, from verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 5, sorry. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to life through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. Praise God. Paul is saying, he's speaking here to Timothy, that he should put, you know, in remembrance, he should remember that gift of God that he received from him by the laying of hands. Remember it. Remember that gift. Because that gift, as we are beginning to understand, is the thing that gives us victory over death. That gift is the thing that gives us access to immortality, access to life, eternal life, true life, rich life, access to liberty. Praise God. That gift in us is none other than the gift of the Lord Christ Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, as Christ Jesus. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have eternal life. That is the gift of God. We have to continuously recite these things. We have to continuously remember these things. That is God's gift to mankind. There is no other gift that God has for you or I. The only gift that God has is the gift of the Son Christ. And if we possess that gift, if we receive that gift, we are guaranteed escape from the powers of death. We are guaranteed deliverance from the horrible pit of death where humanity is languishing in. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Giving the begotten Son is giving all that God has. Because the fullness of God himself dwells in the Son. Everything that is God's is in the Son. Praise God. So that gift that is transmitted to Timothy by Paul, by the laying of hands, is none other than an impartation of the Spirit of God in Timothy, which reveals the Son within us. The gospel of Christ Jesus is a gospel that simply unveils the Son of God in you and I. It is that light shining, revealing Christ, the image of the living God in you. See, that is the ministry of the church, the ministry of those who are called out, the ministry of Christ is to transmit this light and revelation to those who willingly receive it. The laying of hands that Paul is talking about there has got nothing to do with physical laying of hands. Somebody might argue, but the disciples in the book of Acts laid their hands on new converts, on new believers, and they receive the Holy Ghost. But what I want you to understand is that those disciples, those early disciples, were actually Jews. These are people who were coming out of the Hebrew tradition into the light of the knowledge of Christ. So at that point in time, they still had some of these bags and luggages from their old days. The laying of hands that the Bible refers to has got nothing to do with a physical contact. It's simply the work of the ministry. The work of the ministry of Christ, which is to impart the light of the knowledge of Christ, who is the image of God in you. You see all over the places people lay hands and touching hands and all that, laying hands on people. All that is just religion. All those are things that people have inherited from the Hebrew religion, the Hebrew tradition. You see, right from the days of Jacob and, you know, the elders, Isaac, all these people laid hands on, you know, on their subjects to bless them. Also, the elders of their synagogues will normally lay hands to pronounce a blessing on their subjects and all that. So these things have entered into the church and have carried on for years and years. But let us understand, impartation by the laying of hands is imparting the knowledge by the ministry of Christ. But somebody says, Jesus Christ says, you shall lay the hands on the sick and the sick shall recover. Yes, it's your ministry, the ministry of Christ, the hands of Christ, the invisible hands of Christ, with which you lay your hands on would-be believers, heals them. They are healed by the revelation of Christ. They are healed by the impartation of the truth in them. Our healing comes by awakening in the knowledge of Christ, by awakening in Christ, who is the image of God. That is the healing. That is where the healing comes from. Because in Christ, we are complete. In Christ, we are whole. In Christ, we possess the totality of everything that God is. Our solution is not in gathering money. The solution to man's problem is not in gathering money. The solution to man's problem is not in getting married or getting a husband or getting a good husband or getting a good wife. It's not in getting a good family, in getting a big house, a big car. Your solution, that is the solution to your problem, the solution, eternal solution to your problem, is your awakening in Christ. It's getting a revelation of who you are. It's by receiving the gift from God, which comes by impartation, by spiritual revelation from above. That is all you need. And when you discover that gift and allow that gift to manifest and unfold in you, you will see yourself ruling and reigning in God's kingdom. You see, this is all the gospel is about. It's about unveiling the seed in you. So Paul is saying, let us put in remembrance. You see it. We put in remembrance, you know, this gift of God in us and steer it up. Steer it up. You know, some people might have a revelation of this gift, but it is just there, dormant. As long as it is there, dormant, there is no way you can comfort. There is no way you can enjoy the fruits of eternal life. You have to stir it up. Conditions outside, without, in this world, will never encourage you to stir up that gift. So there must be a bold resolve within us to stir up that gift in us. Because if we just, you know, receive this message, if we receive this enlightenment, this knowledge from God, and just, you know, let this revelation just lie there without stirring it up, there is no way you can benefit from it. You only just perish off, you know, like the world is perishing off. You just die off like the world is dying off. And I tell you, this is where we know those who are, you know, princes before God. Those people who can withstand the temptations that contradict the manifestation of Christ within you. Those who can stand that those contradictions of this world, the contradiction of this dark outer world, and retain that seed and let it mature into fullness, are those who will be called prince with God and with men. You need strong resolve to really reap the benefits of this thing that has been impacted, you know, this revelation that we have in us. Patience and continuity. Patience and continuity in the revelation of Christ. Continuous exercising in Christ. Spiritualizing ourselves continuously, daily, growing in the spirit, exercising ourselves in godliness, in the revelation of Christ within us, exercising ourselves in the spirit, walking in the spirit, is the only way we can eventually, you know, receive that salvation which has been preached to us, that eternal salvation of God and that eternal blessing, the crown of life. In another letter to Timothy, in 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 14, this is Paul writing to Timothy, he said, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the Presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. You see, continue. Jesus Christ says, if you continue in my doctrine, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. There must be a bold resolve to continue. No more looking back. A bold resolve to see the end of the faith. Patience, so that we can obtain the reward of eternal life. And so that eventually that the profit, that which you are going to reap in God, the glory that you reap in God, will be evident to all those who are about you. They will see it and they shall know of the truth that you have not walked in vain. Praise God. Continuity, so that we can be saved from the destruction that is upon the earth. I tell you, there is a place of exaltation. There is a place of rest, of glory and power. There is a place where every negative power, every false imaginary power that has, you know, tried to oppress us in the days of our flesh will be no more. There is a realm of total liberty and freedom, a realm of total power and glory. It is real, it is true, it is something that we have seen and tested, and we testify. Only if we are patient, we will not allow the things around us to dampen our spirits. Only if we allow ourselves to meditate daily on the Word of God. Meditation. Meditating on His promises. Meditating on His goodness, on His love. See it. Remembering the gift that He has given to you, because there is no other gift, no other salvation in heaven and earth apart from this revelation that you are getting today. This is the thing that will keep you secure throughout eternity. And this is the thing that all men are running to and fro looking for, but they do not realize it. But in their own time, they will realize it. Let us not neglect the gift in us. Yes, along the way, there might be cloudy days. You know, when you have cloudy days, dark clouds, and the sun is not shining, you cannot see the sun rays. When you cannot hear the birds singing. See, the clouds obscure the rays of the sun, so that you cannot, you know, you feel all alone. You don't sense the joy of your salvation. You don't sense the presence of the Lord. It might be out of a sin consciousness. It might be for one reason or out of the one reason or other, a financial problem, a family problem. You must boldly resolve to remain firm, continuously meditating on the promise, continuously looking unto the author and the finisher of your faith, waiting patiently, because that cloud will pass away and you shall see the sunshine. You see, in times like that, you might just take a cassette. You might get your MP3 player and listen to a message. It could be from another brother, you know. It could be from a sister. You could listen to a song. You could read Psalms. You could read a message that ministered to you some years ago. See, but never let that seed of God in you be buried. Never let it be lost forever. Because the moment you lose focus, the moment you neglect the gift in you, you perish off and die off with the rest of the world. When Jesus Christ gave the parable of the talents, you see, he was, you see that all the servants had talents. All of them had their own talents according to their abilities. That talent, like I've said, is the gift of God. It is the revelation of Christ in you, the seed of God in you. That is the talent in every man. That talent is in every man. You see, but you realize the talent by the revelation of Christ in you, by the gospel that we preach, by the revelation of Christ in you, the hope of glory, Christ in you, the image of God, that you are the image of God, that you are actually an offspring of God. Now the wise servants traded with their talents and increased with their talents, so that when their master returned, they were exalted. They were exalted and honored by their master. And the master says, enter into your rest. But notice that there was one servant who hid his talent under the ground. He covered the talents up and hid it. He didn't trade with the talent. He returned the talent exactly the way the master left the talent with him. And when the master saw the slothful servant, lazy servant, he called him wicked servant. See it? And he was punished for that. Cast into outer darkness where there is torment. That is the realm where the world stays in. Those who are ignorant of God. Those who are ignorant of the glory of God in them. So you can see from that parable already, God is saying we should stir up the gift in us. Stir up the talent in us. That gift we have received by the laying of hands, by the elders, by the church, which is also the laying of hands of Christ, which is the impartation of the knowledge of Christ, the impartation of the gift of God. And God expects that we increase in Christ, we increase in the knowledge, increase in the knowledge of Christ in us, increase in our true identities. We are admonished not to be ashamed of the gospel, not to be ashamed of the afflictions associated with the gospel, with the good news, with this revelation. What afflictions do you suffer? One might ask, what afflictions do you suffer? The contradictions from friends, from church members, from family members. You see, if you truly want to walk in this revelation and abstain from all forms of godliness, you'll be stepping on toes. Anybody who will live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecutions, because you might just have to leave off certain associations. You might have to leave off certain things. You might have to, you know, leave off certain beliefs and traditions that you've carried on with you from when you were a child, and confess the truth. Confess Christ in you before people. See, and at times it might sound, how do I put it, ridiculous before people, especially when you have not attained to the total realization of this revelation that we are speaking about. See, they laugh at you, they mock you. And of course, you're not talking about your many temptations in the flesh that want to war against the revelation of Christ in you. You're not talking of the war of the mind. You know, certain concepts and beliefs that you've had for years that wouldn't want to let go easily. These are the afflictions you suffer for the gospel. This revelation. See, but we are admonished to continue on. Continue on. Day and night in fellowship. Because everything around us is passing away. Oh, Jesus Christ. You see, the psalmist prays that God should hide his eyes from vanity. God should shield him from vanity. That should be our prayer and our meditation daily also. That we are not carried away with vanity. We are not carried away with the glories of this world. We are not carried away with the inventions of men. You see it? Paul says that the wisdom of this world and of the princes of this world are coming to naught. When you talk of coming to naught, we're talking of coming to nothing. See, they are being reduced to zero, to nothingness. See, all the things that, you know, all the knowledge that you've acquired, all the things that you've gathered unto yourself over the years, and many, many other things, all boil down to a big zero, nothing. You read this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. See, the knowledge, the wisdom, the beliefs, and everything in this physical realm that has got to do with man is coming to naught. The earlier you wake up to this reality, the better for you. Everything is coming to naught. Your struggles, your tribulation, your pain, your strivings, and everything is coming to naught. As a man. You see it? But if we receive the light of the gospel, the revelation of the gospel, along with it comes a hope of a new realm, a world that is hidden God. A realm that abides eternally, that never, never passes away. A realm where we live in total glory, joy, peace, and you know, no sense of lack. Only those people who come to this place can actually cite Psalm 23, which says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." You come to a realm where you are total peace, ruling and reigning in the glory of God. But we can only attain to this place as we continue in the revelation, as we stir up the gift in us. Day and night, our laboring as brethren is to keep the gift in us and to cause it to grow. Keep the gift in us and cause, and you know, we come to the place when we realize it truly. Isn't that why it says, "Thy kingdom come"? Thy kingdom come is all about, let there be a realization of Christ. That is all your prayer. That is all you need. You don't need any other thing in this world. Nothing, no other thing. You don't need a pension scheme. You see it? You don't need anything apart from attaining to the full stature of Christ. Praise God. So we are admonished to stir up ourselves. Stir up ourselves in the revelation, loosening ourselves daily from the elementary things of this world. If I have this revelation of Christ in me, I will learn to be more self-content. I will learn to live for the moment. You see it? Because when you begin to worry for tomorrow, begin to worry about what will happen, and this and that, that is when you begin to get yourself entangled with the things of this material world. If I want to grow in Christ, I might want to, you know, avoid commitments on the earth. Could it be financial commitments? You know, taking unnecessary loans, unnecessary, you know, borrowing unnecessary money from banks and people. You know, for excesses, to, you know, to fuel my excesses. I will have to cut off those things and reduce those things so that I don't have commitments, too much commitments upon the earth. I will want my treasure to be in the heavens, in the spirit realm, where my salvation is coming from. That's why Paul says that we should run this race with patience and loosen ourselves with patience, losing ourselves from the things that easily beset us, those things upon the earth. Loosen yourselves gradually by the word of God, by the revelation of God, by prayer, by meditation. Loosen yourself from beliefs of what you think you ought to have and what you think you do not, you know, need, and all those things that pertain to your life upon the earth. Loosen yourselves daily and run this race with patience in the day of your unveiling. You will be a blessing to many. In the day of your unveiling before the earth, many shall run to the rising of the light in you, which is Christ in you. Praise God. We know that the whole world today is traveling, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. But those who will manifest themselves, who will be able to come to this place, are those who have patiently nurtured the revelation in them. Patiently allow this thing to work in them. Day and night, meditating, praying, watching. These are the ones that will eventually come in. Jesus Christ says, watch and pray that you don't fall into temptation. Watch and pray that you do not fall into temptation. Now, the temptation is simply that which will sweep you away with the lies of this outer world, with the lies of this dark age, of this material world. That is the temptation. The temptation is that which causes you to forget the truth. That causes you to forget that revelation has been deposited in you. Praise God. And anyone who is born of God will keep himself. Will keep himself. So that the devil will not tamper with the seed of God in him. Will not tamper with that revelation. You have to keep it. This is your battle. This is your battle day and night. Praise God. Now, this thing might not come to its fullness within a year, 2 years, 3 years. Some it might take less, some it might take more. But this thing is available for every man. God is faithful. Praise God. God who has called us is faithful. And is able to bring us to an expected end. Those who have waited patiently and allowed him to work in their lives by his spirit. Those who have laid down their lives for the sake of the good news. Laid down the lies. You see, they've forsaken all the hidden things of darkness to receive the truth from God. These are the ones who will reign in life with God. And brethren, this thing is real. It is true. See, that's why if you read the letters of Paul and the letters of the other apostle, you see they spend more time in admonishing us on how we need to be patient, how we need to continue. How we need to move on in the things of God. Because along the line, you will know what it means that many are called, few are chosen. Many people receive this revelation with joy. They are zealous, burning with zeal, speaking big mysteries, speaking revelation, praying day and night, going for attending meetings and revivals. But over the years, you do not see them anymore. Why? Over the years, they watered down simply because they succumb to the temptation of the world. They succumb to the lie of this outer world. And that good tidings, that revelation they had was dampened. The gift in them was not stirred up. So they did not benefit from it. And they perish off like the rest of the world. And this is not our portion. We who are hearing this today. So we have to continuously remind ourselves, praying day and night. You see it? Sharing the word of God with one another. You know? Exchanging emails, encouraging one another. You see it? If you have a song, if you have hymn or whatever, now if you quickly go to the First Thessalonians, let us see what Paul says here. Now, you are all children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others. But let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. And they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us unto wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together in him. Praise God. You see what Paul is saying? We are not of the night. We who, if you have this revelation, and you choose to walk in this revelation, you are no more of the night. We are of the day, we who receive the light of the revelation of Christ, who is the image of the living God. God has commanded light to shine into our hearts so that we no more walk in ignorance like the nations walk. Now he says that, we should always be sober. Sober. Not being taken to drunkenness. like those of the night. Those who drink are of the night. And of course, it's not talking of beer here. It's not talking of wine or whiskey or whatever. See, those who are drunk, those who drink and all that, are simply those who are intoxicated with the lies of this world. The lies of this world breeds pride. It breeds all kind of, you know, unruly behavior in man. See, it all the filthiness and all the shame in men is because of the lies of, you know, that, you know, they receive from this world, their beliefs they've received from this world, beliefs of what, of who they think they are, of what this world is, and everything. That is what makes men stumble and reel, like, you know, to and fro like drunken men. But we are not of the night, because we have the truth, the revelation of the truth. So we are to walk soberly in relation to this world, in this physical world, in this material world, walk soberly, keeping ourselves from the, you know, the lies, see, that puff up the flesh, the lies of this age. Walk in the truth, walk in the revelation of Christ, in love, recognizing that we are all members of each other. See, and we are being gathered back into Him. We have to have this revelation. This is the only way you can begin to love and forgive people who have done things to you in the past. This is the only way you can also forgive yourself. Because Christ has died for us. And we know today we are all reconciled back to God by unconditional love. Unconditional, no conditions. We have been reconciled back to God. We must receive this thing by faith. See, if you've done anything in the past and you know it's haunting you, you just have to understand that God is not a man. His thoughts are not our thoughts. You must embrace this reconciliation initiative through Christ Jesus. We've been all reconciled. If you keep on going about with a guilty conscience, feeling sorry for what you did years ago, or you are still angry at somebody who did something to you, then you've simply not understood the mechanism of the reconciliation process that is in Christ Jesus. We have been reconciled. If you have a revelation of this reconciliation, you will learn to love and show mercy to others and also to yourself. God is not holding you accountable for what you've done in the past, or even what you still did yesterday, some moments ago. Just move on. If you suffer as a result of condemnation, it's simply within you. God is not involved in that. You must recognize this fact. Now we move on. We're talking of ways to stir up ourselves as Christians. Ways to stir up ourselves, you know, in the revelation of the truth. Ways to stir up the gift of God unto eternal life. See, we have to live soberly, not carried away by, you know, by the lies of this age. Walk in relation to the truth. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 11, I'm moving on. Wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even also ye do. Even as also ye do. You see it, edifying one another, comforting one another. Very important, edifying one another, comforting one another. In whatever capacity we can, you know, we can edify each other. Let us do it. See it. You might have something in you that you might want to deposit in me. You might have a revelation, you might have a song, you might have a word of encouragement. You might have a poem. You know, anything that would just cause us to be focused on this realm, this glory to come. Let us edify ourselves toward that thing every day, continuously. You see, this is the thing that pleases God. The book of Proverbs says that him that watereth will be watered. See, if you make it a habit to try to just water yourself and the brother by your side, it comes back to you hundredfold. Praise God. Verse 12, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. See it? Those people who God might have given a special grace to go further in ministry and to serve you according to the will of God. At times, it's good to recognize these people and honor them as the Lord leads you. Honoring them is honoring the Lord. Some ministers might be out there who have been, you know, compelled by the Lord to leave everything for the sake of the ministry. These are ones who do not work, but they are laboring day and night to ensure that this perfect work of God is accomplished in your lives. What do you do to them? Do you stone them? Do you gossip against them? Do you maltreat them? What do you do? Doesn't common sense tell you that you will minister to this person in whatever way you have, whatever way you can, to show honor, respect? You could minister to him financially, physically, with goods. See, a lot of these people, they come into your midst, they preach, they minister to the word of God, but they never ask for a dime. Paul, in another letter, writes that we should not muzzle the mouth of an ox while it walks. This was one of the laws of the commandments of Moses. So you can see that God already provided this provision for the ministers right from the days of Moses. Right from the days of Moses, God had provided, you know, a mechanism by which the ministers of God are sustained. The minister representing the ox walking in the field should be able to eat from the produce of the field while it walks. So let us be wise. See, let us learn to serve one another as if we are serving the Lord. Consider it joy to minister physically or financially or spiritually to another member, because you are doing it to the Lord. It is the Lord's body. Praise God. I just imagine how out there in the world, politicians, And people out there are able to raise millions and millions and millions of dollars in a matter of days through the internet. If they call for donations, they raise millions. But shouldn't it be even greater for those who are the ministers of God, who do the work of God, work that abide eternally forever? Praise God. So let us learn to give. The more we give, the more we receive. If you keep waiting for a big pay slip, you will never give. If you keep waiting for a day when, you know, you have some excesses, you will never get the excesses. You just have to start giving by faith. And as you do this, you know, you'll be ministered to in return. That's how it functions. Praise God. Let's move on. Verse 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient towards all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. You see it? We're talking about manifesting unconditional love to all men. We're not just talking to the brethren here. You see, if you have a revelation of the truth, you will get to understand that it is by grace that you are saved. It is by grace that you are able to receive this revelation that is coming in this hour. We've not done anything to merit anything, simply by grace. Because he loved us first. See it? All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. See, but we are able to receive this grace on back to the glory of God simply by grace. Grace is the word. Grace is the key to reconciliation, and we have to manifest that same grace, that same love to all men. All men. See, it doesn't matter what he did to you some years ago. It doesn't matter if it's your ex-husband who did something some time back. See, if your dad or your parents did something to you some years back, or your brother or your sister or your friend, now by the grace that is in the gospel, the grace that is in the Lord Jesus, grow in love. Arise above the hurts. Arise above the pains. See, I'm not trying to say you have to go around pushing people and looking for people and all that. No. As you meet people along the way, manifest love, unconditional love to all men. Not to some, not to those who did good to you, or to those who were. If you have the revelation of Christ, you will see that same revelation of Christ in the other man. You might be chosen to go ahead of him. It doesn't make you any better. It's just the grace and the calling of God. So let us learn to be patient to all men. Patient to all men. See it? When you are patient, when you exercise this kind of patience and love, it builds you up in Christ. It builds you up in the knowledge of Christ. Any other kind of attitude only steers up, or how do I put it, builds up the man of the flesh. You see, if you want to steer up the man of the spirit, we just have to let go of our own will and let the will of Christ within us operate. Let go of our life. Let go of everything that pertains to us and let Christ live in us. It will require sacrifices, quite alright. You might lose certain things. See, but it's only for a moment. You will gain everything back hundredfold, energized in the glory of God. Praise God. Now let's go on. Verse 16. Rejoice evermore and pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Praise God. Rejoice evermore. We have to learn to start smiling. We have to learn to, you know, to be thankful in all situations. Gratitude in everything that we do, and every occasion, everything that we see. Because we have everything. Most people don't comprehend, they are not able to still comprehend the glory that is being revealed to us. You must constantly be in remembrance, rejoicing evermore, rejoicing continuously at this thing that God has given to you. Don't let conditions outside you affect your joy. See, don't let your financial situation affect your joy. Don't let your marital status, how is going on, what is happening in your marriage life, affect your joy. Because all those things that you worry about outwardly, they are all for a moment and they are gone. We must learn to be joyful in that revelation we have. Because if we put on a countenance of sorrow, it quenches the Spirit of God in us. We have to, you know, learn to always be grateful and learn what they call self-contentment. Always be satisfied with what you have. Paul says that it's enough for us to have clothing, food, and a place to stay. That is all that is enough for you. And continue on to rejoice in God. Rejoice in the salvation that awaits you, in the glory that awaits you. If you want to look out to this world, look at conditions around you. Look at what is happening to your family members. Some people are sick. Some people are dying off. A child is a drug addict. A child is a drunkard. A child is not doing well in school. And all, if you want to look out at all those things and fix your mind on those things, you will never progress in God's kingdom. You must learn to lay everything on the altar of God and trust God. Believe God that they are saved. They are okay. Praise God. Now let's go on to verse 19. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophecy, prophesying. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good, and abstain from appearances of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Praise God. What is our calling? Our calling is to be conformed to the image of Christ. Our calling is to rediscover ourselves the way we are known of God. We are being called out of the darkness of this world into the marvelous light of our God. God, who has called us, is able to accomplish this feat in our lives. See, but we must have a positive, you know, how do I put it? A positive attitude towards the things that be of God. Always rejoicing, always cheering ourselves in the hope, never letting the devil deceive you again. Never letting the temptations of this world, this outer darkness, hide this precious truth from you again. Praise God. Our calling is to realize our true blameless nature that we possessed from the foundation of the world, where we are one in God, when we realized that totality of our oneness in God. So let us not be, you know, drawn back by events without us, but we should steer up ourselves. Steer up ourselves. What shall it profit a man if he gains this world and loses his soul, and he himself is destroyed? He himself is, you know, is lost. See, we are not of those who go back into perdition and destruction, but we are those who continue on unto the saving of the souls. So, brethren, we are admonished. Let us stir up ourselves. Stir up yourselves. Believe the Lord and be saved. Amen.